I'm happy to announce that you can now get both of my books as audiobooks read by me. They are available exclusively at my store. Link in the description. What is it that you find fascinating?
That you make fun of flat earthers when you believe your ancestors are inanimate objects.
I don't believe that.
Of course you do. You believe in modern cosmology, don't you?
That doesn't mean that something is my ancestor. Just because a process unfolds in a way doesn't make something my ancestor. But you literally do believe this, by the way.
I believe that you believe that the universe expanded out of a ball of energy. Yes, I think that's pretty dumb.
No. You believe. You literally believe that your ancestor is an inanimate object. So I don't know why you're saying that it's stupid of me or crazy of me to say that.
I would ask you to explain that, but I don't think you can.
What was Adam formed out of?
The dirt. But that's not all Adam is comprised out of. He's not just the dirt.
Hold on.
Right?
Hold on. Give me a second here.
Did God breathe into him something? Life, right? But where do your humans come from? Your humans come from a pool of free amino acids, which somehow form functional proteins over time. Hey, Planet Peterson, can you tell me, are we able to get functional proteins to form right now in a laboratory?
Wait, can you hear this?
Planet Peterson, can you tell your viewers whether or not scientists are able to get functional proteins to form right now in a laboratory randomly?
Do you hear the laugh track?
Just so everyone knows, he does this because he can't answer questions, but it's all good.
Okay, I was just making sure. So you believe that our ancestor is an inanimate object? Yep.
Yeah, so can you explain to me how life forms out of free amino acids?
I will when you concede that you believe that your ancestor was an inanimate object.
Well, no, it doesn't qualify because God breathed life into Adam. So if it was just dirt, you would have a point. But since
it was just dirt, he was formed from nothing but dirt, and then some extra stuff was added. So,
well, that's called life. But that's the part you don't spiritual. Have.
What is life?
Well, that's the part you don't have.
Let me ask a slightly different question. What did God add?
His own spirit.
What does that mean? What the hell is that?
It's life force.
What is
it's
that?
It's an epistemic limitation.
I have a feeling you're gonna give me a big list of adjectives, none of which you can actually explain, which means you're just making it up.
I'm gonna give you adjectives that I can't explain.
Yeah, like they're kind of nouns and because when I ask you to describe
they're kind of
the
nouns,
noun
but
to me,
adjectives.
When I ask you to describe the noun to me, which is the spirit or the breath of life, you're going to give me adjectives that don't have any actual properties or anything that you can actually
Well, there's
describe.
An epistemic limitation there.
Okay. There's an epistemic limitation to a naturalistic origin of life, but it's still true.
Do you know what an epistemic limitation is?
Yeah, a limit of our knowledge.
Well, in this case, you're trying
the study of knowledge.
Right. Yes, right. But in this case specifically, you're trying to apply categories to God that you can't apply to him. You're trying to understand what a spirit is. You want me to explain
if
that in
you
finite
terms? If you want
to
admit that you can't possibly know that your beliefs are true or that you can have any justification for them, then that's fine. I've been saying that for years to you guys, but most of you guys pretend that's not the case.
Wait, we don't have a justification for what we believe. What's the justification that you believe that you evolved out of pond slime?
The evidence.
What evidence?
All life on the planet shares genes.
That's proof for genetic mutations being able to code for body plans of DNA.
Yes, because we share genes with them. But we have many more genes, which is kind of a necessary component of how you go from a simpler to a more complex organism. So it's 100% consistent with what we thought would be the evidence.
Mutating DNA from a single cell to a pterodactyl to you is a scientific position.
Well, yeah, obviously. Because if it's scientific, based on the evidence.
What studies have been done to show that you can code
genetics?
So there's a study in genetics that shows that it's possible to randomly mutate DNA and get from a single cell to a penguin. Do you know what that would require?
Yeah, because penguins share genes with single-celled organisms.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Evidence that is actually necessary to find for that idea being true.
No, it's not. It's not. How does that explain?
No, it is.
What?
No, Jacob, it 100% is. If life evolved, then it means that the more complex life of today needs to share genes with all life, and it should share the least genes with the simplest forms of life. And that's 100% what we find.
Actually,
that is
no.
The case.
Given the amount given the amount of species that are on the planet, the mutation rate must have been massively much more fast than it is now. So you're talking about going. Well, think about it. You're going from a single cell to over billions of years, thousands of species of animal.
Yes,
the dinosaurs go extinct,
4 billion,
and then humans evolve.
Jacob, it took 3 billion years for the life to even go from single-celled to multi-celled. So it takes a very, very, very long time. But then once you have sexual reproduction, it can all go into turbo mode. But even after turbo mode, it still took many, 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 many tens of millions of years to get to the point where you have like the different phyla that we see in the animal kingdom. And then from that point on, yeah, thanks to the recombination and all that other stuff, now some pretty cool stuff can start happening.
So, okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. So you're telling me that let's go to a the ocean before humans. There's this fish-like creature. Who cares what it is? It's going to have children. It passes down about 3% of these mutations down to its child. You really believe
3%?
You're a smart guy.
Why would
it
only pass down 3%? It's going to pass down half its genes.
Only about three. No, it's not. I'm talking about mutations. Only about 3% of these mutations are going to be possibly beneficial to the animal.
Oh, so you're telling me totally different than what you said, but sure, go ahead.
Yeah, what I meant was relax. So you're telling me that through these three, and by the way, only about half of a percent of these mutations are going to be expressed as dominant traits. You're telling me that through like 3% of these mutations, you're going to go from a single cell to a pterodactyl.
Yeah. And your inability to wrap your head around it is not an argument or evidence.
Would you at least say that it's unexpected, or do you think that this is like natural?
I don't see how those are the options.
Are there natural processes that cause functional proteins to form, or is this something that's wow, this is kind of a miracle?
When a cell transcribes its RNA, that makes a functional protein. That is a completely naturalistic process.
That's part of an existing system. I'm talking about
a naturalistic system. Yes.
Okay. A pool of free amino acids doesn't just form into functional proteins.
What does functional mean?
A functional protein is a protein that's formed into a 3D shape and is the right sequence to make it viable for life. It has to be a functional protein.
Okay, and makes it viable for life. I mean, okay. But proteins form naturally.
Not functional proteins. Yeah, proteins do form naturally, but they're not in the right sequence.
If those proteins aren't associated with life, then it's not that they're not functional. It's just that they're not doing what biotic proteins do. But to say that they're not functional
makes no sense. People that know what they're talking about call them functional proteins.
We have iron in our blood. But to call the iron in Earth's crust non-functional,
it's called a functional protein,
because
Peterson.
Yes, I know, but you're not really making much of a
point
at all.
So in your universe with no God, it expanded from a ball of dominant energy, essentially, only fundamental particles. And over billions of years, this ball of energy with no God or intelligence expanded into penguins, kitty cats, and squirrels.
Even if you did believe in God, that would be the only possible conclusion you could draw if you were actually based on the evidence. We can see
what
for
billions.
If the Bible is true, how far should we be able to see?
What?
If the Bible is true, how many light years should we be able to see?
How many light? We can't see light years. What are you talking about?
Well, that's factually incorrect. I don't know what to tell
you. We can see the light that's coming to the Earth from stars that are far away.
Yeah.
And we can try to determine
and we
how
can
far
measure
they
the
are.
Yes.
But we don't
there
have anything that can see light years into space, Doofy. I don't know if you knew that.
You I know you don't think the Earth is flat.
You really think these things are seeing light years away? Is that what you think?
Jacob, I know you don't think the Earth is flat, so what are you doing right now? You don't think that the Andromeda Galaxy...
What I'm having a hard time understanding.
You don't think that the Andromeda Galaxy is 2 million light years away?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm
saying... Yes, it is what you're saying. You're saying we can't see for many light years.
That's not even... Who cares? The point is, you seem to think that life exists as the result of natural processes. I'm wondering what those natural processes are that served as a catalyst to turn inanimate objects into you.
And what I'm telling you is, whatever I believe, even if you believe in God, is the only acceptable avenue you could get to.
Just because you believe it? There.
Because 100% of all of the evidence says so. And
no, it doesn't.
I'm proving it to you right now, and that's why you don't want to talk about it. How far should we be able to see if the Bible is true?
What?
How far should we be able to see?
That's a ridiculous question. It's a stupid question.
No, you just have a stupid book and stupid beliefs, and you know it because you know the answer can't possibly be billions of light years,
even though you and I both know. What natural processes are reversing entropy in your universe?
It is stupid. Your book and your beliefs, and even you know it because,
okay, if it's
which
stupid,
is why
then can you explain to me?
Why are you interrupting me? You know it, which is why you won't talk about this because you know
it's
that
a
the
dumb
answer,
question.
You know that the only acceptable answer is thousands of light years.
No,
and
it's
you
not.
That's not the answer.
That's not true at all.
Then explain
what
to me
saying is,
if the Bible is
okay,
true, how far should we be able to see?
I don't even understand what that means.
Yes, you do. If the Bible is true, and what the Bible says about the universe, including how it was created and how old it is, then how far should we be able to see?
As far as we see now, the scripture says he stretched out the universe.
So do you realize that this is completely circular and unfalsifiable?
Wait a minute. This is circular, but you telling
because
me
you're
that
taking
balls of
the evidence and saying the evidence
is
true because God would make the evidence look the way it is.
That's
you are
you're
starting
not
from a
evidence. That's false. What
you're starting from the conclusion. You're
you what,
saying how far we can see is how far we should be able to see. You're not putting your
yes.
idea to the test. You are taking the data and making it part
your
of your belief.
Explain your question. Why are you asking it? Explain the nuances of the question.
Because
please.
According to you. Your Bible says the universe is 6,000 years old, right?
I don't believe the universe is expanding, Peterson. You do.
That has nothing to do with how old the universe is.
Then why would it why
according
would it matter
to
how
your,
old the Earth was?
According to your beliefs and your Bible, the universe is 6,000 years old, isn't it?
Right.
How far can light travel in 6,000 years?
Oh, that's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant at all.
How is that relevant? If the universe is not expanding... And it's not infinite like you probably think it is, then stars are not light years away that you as you think they are. They're not.
So you just doubt all of the cosmological data we use.
The same way you doubt all of the cosmological.
So you doubt all the cosmological data we use to measure distances in space.
I tell you what. Since you want to keep
I'm
muting.
I'm just asking you a yes or no question. So you doubt all of the data.
I'll make a video for you, buddy.
Yes, I know. You make 10 videos every day and you tag Blitz and I because you have this huge crush on both of us. I'm aware that you have videos. 100% of your personality is wrapped up in my identity and Blitz's identity. I know. Believe me, I know. I get... How many notifications do I get? Saying graphics has tagged you in a video. Let me go look. I'll pull it up right here. Mentions. Oh, I knew he would leave if I did that. I knew he would leave if I did that. Oh, man, that could have gone on for so long. Damn it.
Planet Peterson loves to mute people that come on his live. So today I went on there and that'll be the last time I make that mistake. Well, Jake, if your book is only 6,000 years old, how far in space should we be able to see? I think he thinks we can see into space. I think he thinks that, like, these satellites are, like, looking into deep space. And that's not what they're doing. It's not like binoculars, Peterson, that they're looking into deep space. That's not how those images are taken of stars. Did you know that? I think you think that. Well, if the Bible's only 6,000 years old, then how come we can see light years into space? We can't. We can't see light years into space. What in the world? So, irrelevant question.
Don't let chat, what is it doing, happen to you. I've taken 100 of the most common anti-scientific arguments and put together the research, the logic, and the facts to take them all down. Every copy is personally signed and shipped by me. There are also way over 100 additional misconceptions in my second book, Facts That Aren't True. Or if you prefer, there are full audio versions of both books, including all of the pictures used in the books. If you're interested, click the link in the description.
What? Why'd you leave?
I have to tell you, earlier when you said, why is it yelling? I about died when you said that. That guy was very quickly angry. I have to agree. Why do you argue with flat earthers, really?
That's really funny.
Isn't it like beneath you though? Like, doesn't that drive you nuts?
It depends. There's actually a lot of them I hang up on.
What's up?
Well, I was just wondering why you left.
Because you don't listen.
We were like in the middle of a conversation and you were looking up a video.
You're asking me if the Bible is 6,000 years old, how far into space should we be able to see?
Yeah.
Which is a stupid question.
It's not. You just know that your belief can be tested and it fails the test.
Okay, so if the Earth is 6,000, what is the issue with how far we can see into space? Can you explain the issue?
Because we can see billions of light years. Light can't travel billions of light years in 6,000 years.
Okay, Peterson, we can't see billions of light years into space, sir. I know that's you think
just,
that.
That's just that's false.
That's not true. Okay, well, do you know
it's
how
you
we
versus
see
the entire field
space?
Of astronomy.
Okay.
I'm not taking your side in that space. Fight.
How do we see stars from outer space?
Telescopes.
We use a telescope?
Yeah.
So like a telescope you buy at Walmart?
No.
So how do we see the light from stars? Do we use photos, the light sensitive plates with long exposure times?
Fancy telescopes. They're going to be completely
so how
digital,
does that...
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because type 1A
supernova... So how do we determine...
Because we know based on the laws of physics how bright type 1A supernovas are, and we know the inverse square law relationship between how dim something gets with distance. So we know how far away those type 1A supernovas are, and they are millions and sometimes billions of light years away.
Okay. So let's just say I concede for, let's just say hypothetically, I say, okay, I believe in an old earth now.
Okay.
Right. Let's just say I give you that point. And let's get to the point where you believe that fundamental particles in the universe can essentially expand into living beings. Can we talk about that for a second?
Well, particles don't expand into living beings, but living beings are composed of particles. You and I both know that.
But did your universe start out as a highly compressed, hot, dense point in time and space?
Yep.
And then it expanded over time and cooled down, right?
Yep.
So your position, your scientific position, is that life is the result of a ball of energy expanding and cooling down over time.
No, I think a ghost whispered some words into some mud. Oh, no, wait, that's what you believe.
That would be
much
more probable than balls of energy expanding into penguins.
Perform the calculation for me.
We know that quantum fields don't
that a sky ghost whispers sweet nothingness into mud. No, we don't know that.
But it's funny. You can keep saying stupid things like that, but it doesn't compensate for the fact that your position is that inanimate objects did the tango and then presto chango squirrels.
That's what you believe.
Peterson,
you believe that the sky ghost, I don't know if the sky ghost made squirrels out of mud, but your sky ghost took matter together and created the first squirrels out of it. This is what you believe.
See, I have an omnipotent God. You have a universe that's doing the same thing.
I mean,
the only difference in our position is you have no God.
No, the difference is I know the universe exists and you believe in a sky ghost for no reason.
So, wait a minute. What did you
just say? I'll just say the universe has the power to do this.
You know the universe exists?
Yeah.
And I believe... What is...
You believe in a sky ghost that you have no evidence for and that you can't see. I believe in a universe that you and I both know we exist in.
Okay. Show me a system in nature that's increasing in energy and decreasing in entropy with no living things involved.
If you aren't following graphics, please
do. Oh, shut up already. I'm sorry. Show me a system in nature that's increasing in energy and decreasing in entropy with no living thing involved.
What is increasing in energy?
So a system that exists that has an outside input of energy.
Oh, so Earth, the sun provides energy for the Earth. Mm-hmm. And the second law of thermodynamics actually necessarily guarantees that on local scales, you get decreases of entropy. This is actually known physics.
So the Earth is an open system. So what you're saying is that the energy that the Earth gets from the sun causes a decrease of entropy on the Earth.
Locally, yes. For example, a hurricane or a cloud forming is a local decrease of entropy.
Within an existing system.
Yep. With an outside source of energy.
There's no outside source of energy. That system, that weather system already has...
No, you can't.
That weather system already exists.
You can't have weather without a sun.
Where's the outside input of energy?
The sun.
The sun is what fuels tornadoes.
Yes. Everybody knows that. Well, little kids don't know.
Everybody knows that the sun is what causes tornadoes?
Yes, because you can't have weather phenomena without an input of energy. And that's literally what meteorology is based on.
Okay, but the sun, that system, the sun and the weather and all that, that system exists already, right?
Yeah.
So there's no new input of energy. That system's in place.
I'm talking about
a new system.
The system is the Earth. The input of energy is the sun. You are moving the goalposts.
The sun's energy does not decrease entropy on the Earth. The sun's
energy
increases entropy on the Earth. No, it doesn't.
That is
you don't know anything
literally
about
false.
That's literally fact-checkable right now. You're saying that the sun's rays, when they hit the Earth, it decreases entropy on the Earth?
Yes, because it creates localized order.
No, it doesn't. The sun's rays don't have the capability to create order.
Jacob, a cloud is different from a
random... A cloud is caused by evaporation of water from the... Are you kidding me?
Yes, which is a more ordered example than the random, chaotic, randomly distributed water molecules in the atmosphere. This is just trivially true.
But it's not an example... It's not an example of an increase in energy. You would have to have an outside source inputting energy into the system and decreasing entropy at the same time.
Which is what the sun does. When you add energy to a system, the laws of thermodynamics actually guarantee that it will create localized decreases of entropy. Type it into the ChatGPT right now.
I don't have to check ChatGPT, Peterson. Everybody and their mother knows that the sun's rays increase entropy on the Earth except for you. You're the only pseudoscientist I've ever heard that would be willing to embarrass themselves and say that the sun's rays decrease entropy on the Earth. The sun's rays significantly increase entropy on the Earth. As a matter of fact, the photons that arrive here, Peterson, are already in a state of high entropy, and then they become even more high entropy when they release as heat. So you don't know what you're talking about.
No, they're low entropy.
You're a high
school
science teacher, Peterson. You don't have any credentials in this field. Okay, where are you working now? Walmart?
No, I just do YouTube stuff.
Right, and you argue with flat earthers. Stick with that population.
You have no idea what you're talking about. I consider you their equal.
Oh, that's...
Oh, he got mad.
No idea what you're talking about.
I consider you their equal.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Then bon voyage. Kick rocks then, doofy. You literally just said something that's so stupid. The sun's rays significantly increase entropy. High entropy photons do not have a struck a nerve.
Oh, I tell you what, you won't even let me write.
This video and all my videos is on my Patreon ad-free.
And you can get a free copy of my first book by being a member too. Plus, your name will appear in the end credits. Thank you.